And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Of course, yes, it's Kyle.
Yeah, it is. And we have a special show tonight. We're on a train, actually. A train heading to Amsterdam. Where are we? We just crossed from Switzerland into Germany, and we're taking three trains today. It's yesterday, Monday, when we recorded this. But what we're going to be presenting to you tonight is actually a very special radio broadcast that we did in Milan, Italy. We were on a radio station known as Radio Popular.
107.6, which is an even frequency.
It is. They have that. They have that in the parts of Europe. And we were invited over to give a talk on the current state of affairs in the U.S. based on some of the things we're talking about on the radio.
It was kind of an annual party, I guess, for the radio station. Really a fantastic supporter base, and the ability to just have a talk and bring us over was something they were really interested in, so we obliged, and it was, I think, really well received.
And this radio station is really well organized. They have a whole bunch of people that work there as volunteers, and they're able to have a really impressive space with lots and lots of involvement. It's very inspirational to us working at volunteer stations as well. So you're going to hear us basically getting to the station, and you'll hear part of the program. Unfortunately, we can't translate the questions that were asked of us. They'll be in Italian. And somebody was whispering to us what the questions were, so we knew what the questions were. You'll be able to figure it out, but we can't translate it because, we didn't have that person whispering in our ears actually speaking into the microphone. What we are also going to do is put the entire show as it aired on Italian radio up on our website at www.2600.com/off the wall. And you'll be able to listen to that, but of course you'll have to know Italian in order to do that. But don't fear, we speak English throughout, and I think you'll find it rather entertaining. So, from a train somewhere in Europe, this is Emmanuel along with Kyle.
All right, yeah, enjoy.
Good evening, everybody. This is Emmanuel with Kyle. We're walking down a staircase in a hotel in Milan, and we're walking down the staircase because the elevators are just so slow, and we have to meet people in the lobby, and this is how you do things in Milan. Having fun, Kyle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's as leisurely as we get, but we are busy people. We're here for a purpose. We're going to be actually on a radio station in the city here, a really popular one. That's actually a joke because it's called Radio Popular.
This is left, floor, left this way? Okay.
Up here?
Yeah, where are we going up now? We went down. Now we're going up.
Down the stairwell, now we're going outside, and we're up the stairwell.
Outside, and now we're going into a different room. Okay.
Like a fire escape.
Where the hell are we now? We're following
that
sign. I told you it was the wrong one.
Yeah, no, that door.
That door there?
That door.
All right.
Definitely that door.
Why is everything such a maze in this city? So now we had to go outside. We're going up to a different floor. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're in a lobby.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
how'd
that
happen? Elevator is.
Okay, good. Okay, and those people will be waiting for a while for that elevator because everything is so slow here.
It's a tiny elevator.
Well, there were like
very
50
small
people waiting to get on it upstairs, which is why we took the staircase.
Right.
Now we're
going
to be meeting Roberto. Oh, there he is. Hey, Roberto, you're on the radio now in New York. Say hello.
Hello.
And Roberto is with Radio Popular.
Radio Popolare, Popolare Network.
So that's how you say it. That's the right way to say
that's
it.
That's the proper pronunciation, yeah.
No, we're late, though. We have to get there, right?
Yeah, not kind of late. Not so late.
Okay.
We have
right.
Half an hour.
Half an hour. Well, okay. We usually show up for our show with 1 minute to spare, so we're used to it.
Go ahead.
This is how we do radio.
Wonderful. Okay, now we have to find the right cab.
Oh, we're taking a cab?
Yeah,
we're taking a cab. A Milan cab. Wow, I've heard about this. We took the Milan tram today and the Milan Metro.
Okay, so we have all the range of.
Negotiations are underway.
Con il numero, devo chiamare o posso venire direttamente con lei?
Ah, possiamo andare.
Okay.
All right. Roberto has successfully negotiated a ride for us.
Okay.
All right, we'll go in the back. We'll do the play-by-play. We are now in the Milan taxi, and we're heading towards the radio station site.
Allora, il numero è 65.
Wow, the cab's rearview mirror has built-in meter.
In the mirror?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
They don't have to have a meter.
No,
in the mirror.
There's not a physical meter on the dash. It's like it's built into the rearview mirror.
Lots of really big structures here. A lot of space. A lot of openness.
Yeah, we have to remind ourselves this is a very old city by our standards, I'd say. Of course, a lot of modern architecture and utility. And
They have a good way of installing new on top of old. Like we were in an apartment last night, and there's just this little tiny elevator that was installed in the middle of the staircase. And the building dates back to the 1800s, but they had no trouble at all putting this this elevator that holds four people just going up through the staircase with a door that opens on two different sides. Then today on the tram, which is really ancient, they're
in good shape.
Very good shape. You know, very loud, single car, but they're able to have digital displays as to when it's going to arrive and what else is going to be there. And it just seems rather seamless, the old and the new.
Yeah, they don't. They're not the obsession, I think, with making every bit have continuity.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, obvious differences between some things that are older or newer and infrastructure, but the things that are important do work really well, I think. Like you said, the addition of displays for arrivals and so on. I like the sort of well-worn city streets, you know. You know, it's definitely seen some use over the years,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Yeah, this is a... It's a busy city. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot
yeah.
of wear and tear.
Right, right. It's not, you know... Well, yeah, not like just about looks, per se. You know, we've been in other cities where that was the focus, and other parts of life were a little different. I'm not like, singling out Belarus, you know, in Minsk. I wouldn't do that, but it, you know... would probably come to mind if you were actually thinking that way.
We were comparing Milan to Minsk, another city that begins with M.
Yeah, it's the Minsk of the East.
Well,
I mean,
we were
Milan
just
of the East.
We were talking, you know,
sorry,
we were talking about animation, like loud voices, and that you know, a lot of people speak in very. We were noticing kids,
yeah.
very, very passionate about what they're saying to their parents, and
that's
you know,
right.
these are kids that are like 4 years old, but they're gesticulating wildly and making very valid points. I think, in a way that you don't see in very many other places. And we were saying, yeah, you wouldn't see this kind of passion in a place like Minsk in Belarus, except you pointed out that yes, if you tried to get a pizza in the wrong line. The cashier would indeed yell at you just as loudly, but not nearly with the same amount of I don't know, appreciation for life, just appreciation for bureaucracy.
Yeah, that's on you, Minks, okay? You mess with our pizzas, and you're going to get this kind of commentary.
We mess with their pizza.
Well.
Their pizza has rules.
Yeah, well, okay.
You can't just buy it. You have to buy it, go into a different line, wait for that, and when you get the approval, which you don't always get, then you're eligible to carry the pizza from one part of the cafeteria to the other.
Okay, well, when Minsk has a radio program as renowned as ours, they can espouse, you know, our mistakes, such as we are here. But the real point is we carry that. We carry that with us to this day.
Now, let's talk about walking, because we've noticed some differences in walking styles. Every city we go to, it's a little different. And we noticed that in Milan, there are what we call close walkers.
Well, we have high expectations of the ability to walk, and especially on very wide roads or wide promenades, as you might refer to them, you'd think there's sort of less crowding, especially a street that isn't as busy. But people have a certain sense of orbit. They gravitate towards other people in odd ways.
Yeah.
And I think it's also not a local thing. I think it tends to be the impact of tourists. In other words, they're sort of meandering where...
It's more than just tourists.
I mean, I don't want to blame it all on tourists, but we have noticed it's a lot of people kind of that just stop mid stride.
Well, yeah, they're in front of you and they decide to think of something and they go either very slowly or they stop completely or they turn around and hit you right in the face. And then, of course, there are the people who come up right behind you who want to go faster than you, but they're literally like 3 inches from you.
Those, I think, are more local people, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what, I'm not yielding, this is my town.
And then, yeah, and then we're the slow ones.
Yeah, we're in the way.
Yeah.
It's not the
so
other
So it's
way.
Different. It's a little frustrating, but you have to get used to it. Oh, and we're here. I see all you need is pop, which is the radio station slogan, at least for this anniversary. We are here. Wow.
You see, it's, you know.
So it's a dead end street, and with a mural being painted on a wall, a bunch of people at a table. A lot of people sitting at tables outside.
Yeah, what a great
a festival atmosphere.
Yeah, a little outdoor eating and a nice little courtyard. And the merch table over here.
Merch table and food table and there's an audience. And somewhere in here is a radio station. And
yeah, we aim to find it.
It's their 40th or 41st anniversary. I'm not exactly sure which.
It's the anniversary of the station, yeah.
So...
Well, we're excited to be here, yeah.
Yeah, we do as we're told. They told us to come here and be on radio, and that's what we'll do. So shall we go in? What's our plan?
I think, what time is it now?
Oh.
We have to start at 6 o'clock, so in
20
to 6.
Minutes.
Yeah. Right. If you want to get a beer...
we actually had a beer right before, so we're okay.
Okay.
We'll have too many beers before we go on the air.
Yeah, okay. We'll have more beers after.
Okay.
Although, technically, we could have a beer while we're on the air because we're not on live in the States.
Yeah, we're not engineering, so it wouldn't be a FCC violation.
We're not allowed to drink on the air in the States.
I see.
But if we're on tape, we can drink and then play the tape.
And now you are on tape.
Now we're on tape, but the person in the studio watching the tape can't drink beer now.
I see.
Yeah, that's how it works. As long as we're clear.
What kind of beer are we talking about here, anyway? Just ask.
I don't know. I didn't. If you want to, we can.
Let's ask.
We'll look at the beer anyway.
Since we're talking about it, I mean.
Well, there's bread. We already have a lot of bread.
Yeah, we had a lot of bread.
Negotiations going on about beer now.
It's not in this location.
We have to. Thank you. We have to go down.
Ah.
Emmanuel.
She's Ira, and she will have... interpreter.
Oh, okay. Interpreter, okay.
Thank you.
I could use an interpreter
Kyle.
In everyday life.
Hi,
nice to meet you.
Hi.
Thank you for helping.
Yes.
We'll try not to speak too fast.
We'll speak slowly.
We just agreed with Roberto that they're going to ask you the question in English and then translate them into Italian, so there will be... masters of their own questions.
Okay, okay.
And I'm going to translate what you are going to answer. Is
okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, as long as you don't do it before I answer. You know, that's fine.
Might happen sometimes, but not today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
See you later then.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Man, this is unlike anything we'd see in the States. There's like kids all over the place, and there's dogs in the station, or all kinds of fun things going on.
You want a beer?
Well, if he's having a beer, I'll have a beer. Are you having
a beer?
Okay. All right. All right, so now we go in here to get the beers. We're in a cafe now. Boy, this is something. Yes.
This is the beer of the radio station. Let's just put that out there.
Is that true?
Yeah.
This is the beer of the radio station?
Yeah, it's a beer... Yeah.
Radio Popolare.
Named under, Radio Popolare.
Yeah.
So the radio station has its own beer.
Yeah.
This is something we haven't yet figured out in the United States.
Yeah. We haven't figured out radio.
We could learn from this that beer is also something radio needs. Yeah. It's
okay, this is yours.
Okay. Grazie.
Three. Yeah.
Right, Kyle now has a beer in his hand.
I now have a 107.6 beer in my hand.
It's a surprise also for me. I didn't know that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's okay.
They brew their own coffee here too, or just beer?
No, no, I think also coffee.
Mano? What a treat. This is so nice.
Got it.
Cheers. Okay, cheers. There we go. We've toasted.
Roberto to get his?
What is the you say salut? No, what is Italian?
Alla salute. Cheers.
Alla salute.
Alla salute.
Got it.
Alla santé.
Alla santé.
Thank you. Grazie.
Cheers. Cheers.
Alla salute.
Alla salute.
Alla salute.
Ciao.
Yeah. It's good radio beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is going to help with radio.
You hear that, FCC? I get their radio stations have their own beer, so let's lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
You take yourselves a little too, you know.
Imagine WUSB beer or WUS beer. Yeah,
oh,
I like
good.
That. Or W beer AI.
WUS.
Uh-huh. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Come after.
So should we go up to the studio, or?
Yeah, I because it's not a studio, it's a home with, like, you know, an auditorium.
Oh, okay. Really cool. I love it. It's nice.
It's kind of like, you know, hanging out with the AI listeners a little bit.
Yeah, you feel the community. You know, a lot of interesting people probably could talk to anybody, really, and share.
If we knew the language.
Yeah, that would help.
I wonder what these people have been told, because there's people outside this auditorium kind of lining up, and, you know, we're going to be on the radio.
Yeah.
Do they know that yeah. it's us, or that, what do they know about us?
Is it going to be in English, or, how is it being characterized? I mean, I can definitely talk about politics in America.
Man, I always just say off the wall in Milan. Everybody knows what you're talking about, but
it is a really renowned, as I said before, renowned program that even Belarus can't touch. But well, the point is that we're here, and we may have been
hello.
Sold as.
Oh,
good
hello.
Morning.
There she is.
Hey, Marina.
Just announced to you.
Good to see. You.
So my hands are full.
Okay.
I have a beer in one hand and a microphone in the other.
No. This is a radio beer.
Radio beer, yes, of course. There's no other beer.
We wouldn't have any other beer.
Yeah.
But we did the transit today, subway, and went to Duomo and the castle.
Uh-huh.
And we walked through the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sneezing because I have allergies.
Oh, no.
But I'm okay.
The worst place to send you. Now you go to the park.
It was,
the perfect season.
All the trees.
To kill you.
Yeah, exactly. But I was okay. We got a lot of walking and fresh air, and it was really fun.
Cool.
Yeah, nice. So it's good places.
Fine.
Hey,
how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Good to see you. It's a little different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, who knows us, though? Yeah. I'm used to that. I'm used to people who know me. I don't remember who they are.
I'm not.
Yeah.
No, that's different.
It's Kyle, right?
I'm Kyle.
Okay,
yeah,
I wasn't
Kyle.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I knew you from somewhere.
Yeah, no, that's me. Yeah. I think still.
Yeah. I'm bad with names and faces. I'm just really, really bad. So I carry ID all the time. But you know, it's like so many things. We have far more listeners in Italy than we do in the States. It's like Japan too. We're very popular in Japan.
Are we?
Not so popular in of course. It's like they have this cult thing going on.
Well, and they did an animated series about you know, the off the wall.
Yeah, the anime. Yeah, that was. I didn't like the way my eyes looked, but then again, I didn't like the way anyone's eyes looked. It's just. They're not that big. My eyes have never been that big.
My character had really short hair.
That was funny. Yeah,
really,
yeah, it's sort of a buzz cut thing.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a. I mean, that's just. It's really kind of strange. If you know me, but.
Yeah.
Now that,
you look like Boo on Orange is the New Black. It was kind of a strange look. But, you know, your character pulled it off. But, yeah, it's weird how different countries treat the show in different ways.
Yeah.
And to the U.S., it's kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever, we'll tolerate it, but we're not thrilled.
These guys again.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, we're used to that. That's the American way. But here, we're, like, embraced with open arms. You can hear people applauding already,
already
as they catch sight of us.
That's right.
And
we've been spotted. It's fine.
We don't dare go to Japan because we're afraid of being completely mobbed.
Yeah, no, that's really a serious danger.
So I think we're about to enter.
Yeah, so this is the session change. Excuse me.
I literally have no idea what's going to happen in this radio show.
Should I finish drinking? Or
unless you want to be drinking on the air, it's your call. I'm sure that's allowed as well.
It's radio station beer. You have to remind yourself, this is radio station beer.
We can probably use cuss words.
Yeah, but
not that I need to, but I'm just saying we probably could do that.
I kind of thought about this, though. Like, it's tempting to say, like, you know, really challenging things, things that we don't normally say all the time. But I think it's really about answering the questions. Because they want to know things that we have a lot of perspective on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to make a big statement, maybe like I would every Tuesday at WSB,
right,
that, as you indicated, goes completely unnoticed and is dismissed completely out of
hand. Oh, no, it gets noticed, doesn't get commented on.
Well,
but people keep track of what we say.
Yeah, in another part of the world.
Try contradicting yourself in 5 years, and somebody will email you and tell you that.
Tell me that I need to correct myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is that, you know, let's not, I don't need to make a big statement. I don't need to declare something really outlandish about the fallacy that is our current administration or anything like that. I mean, it's obvious, and I'm not trying to get, you know,
going inside
reaction.
Now. Yes.
It's about having a conversation.
Yes.
All right, we're going in.
Yes. Are we following them? Who are we following? I think we're supposed to follow them. Yikes, okay, we're going through the back way here. Are we cutting through the kitchen or something? This is crazy. Going down this corridor and yeah, look at this, the studio's here. Wow, this is kind of cool. And air conditioning. There's all these little tiny studios. Now we're going into what looks like an auditorium. Oh, I see a countdown clock. Wow, this is 3 minutes to go. Look at this. We're on a stage now, and there's a bunch of expectant-looking people in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of scary. A little table with microphones.
Okay. I don't want to be in the middle. You have to be in the middle.
Well, how many people are there?
Oh, my God.
There's only three chairs, and we're two of them. I think we need more chairs.
Yeah.
Now there's four chairs. Okay, so it's... And I have to put my beer somewhere.
Do you want to sit in the middle? So I'll sit on the right of you.
Fine.
Okay.
Right, beer goes on the floor. Be sure to spill the beer at some point.
Grazie, buonasera, io sono Roberto Festa e innanzitutto grazie per essere qua. Allora, abbiamo 51 minuti, dice lo schermo qua davanti, per chiacchierare con Emmanuel Gostin, che intanto ringraziamo, grazie.
Grazie.
Emmanuel è un giornalista, un esperto di informatica, un hacker, ha testimoniato davanti al congresso degli Stati Uniti, è un conduttore, un giornalista radiofonico a WABAI, ha due trasmissioni, Off the Hook e Off the Wall, mi pare che si chiami l'altra, no? In una si occupa soprattutto di questioni che riguardano l'informatica, nell'altra invece si occupa più in generale di racconto proprio radiofonico, tra l'altro in questo momento con Kyle, che è il nostro altro ospite, viene anche lui da New York, un collaboratore di Manuel, si stanno trasmettendo, cioè nello stesso momento in cui loro sono qui con noi stanno trasmettendo anche, o comunque stanno registrando negli Stati Uniti. Con noi c'è Marina Catucci, che è una giornalista del Manifesto, collaboratrice di Radio Popolare, che ne sa moltissimo di questioni relative appunto agli hackers eccetera, quindi è qui e farà delle domande a Emmanuel. E poi ringrazio Ira Rubini che tradurrà Emmanuel e Carl. Allora, io poi farò qualche domanda, intanto do subito la parola a Marina. E Marina, prego, direi innanzitutto di presentare, no, Emmanuel, come l'hai conosciuto e insomma chi è Emmanuel Goldstein.
Emmanuel non è mai stato nervoso, è l'unica volta che ho visto nervoso, ho sentito nervoso Emmanuel, è stato una notte di inizio novembre nel 2016 quando hanno eletto Donald Trump. E questa non spaventato, perché lui dice io non ho paura di quel tipo, però nervoso sì. E questa è la prima domanda che voglio fare ad Emmanuel: che cosa ti rendeva nervoso quella notte e sei ancora nervoso per questo?
Am I still nervous? Yeah, I think the whole world is nervous. But you know, that night in November and the following days, I think we all were in a state of shock. I know in New York City we certainly were. And we just kind of bonded together and realized that this is probably one of the worst things ever to happen, but it's going to make us stronger. It's going to make us come together, unite, and work towards a common goal. And that's something we haven't been very good at. And that's why we are in the state we're in right now. So while I thought it was a horrible thing at first, today I have to say I think it's probably one of the best things that could have happened to us, because it taught us the power of individuals. It taught us the power of uniting. And we are going to feel a victory. I think we're feeling it already, because I think what's happening in the United States is that the true power of who is ruling the country is being felt now, and that power is not in the White House. That power is in the streets. Things are not being accomplished. There are scandals. You know, 5 months into the administration, there are more scandals than after 8 years of the previous administration. They're not doing very well at all. It's pretty much as bad as anybody could have predicted. And I only hope that we're able to remain united and work towards a common goal and never, ever let this kind of thing happen again.
Ecco, allora, ho un'altra domanda da fare, sempre relativa a Trump, così in qualche modo esauriamo almeno in parte l'argomento della cronaca e poi invece ci allarghiamo a questioni più anche da un certo punto di vista forse più importanti, da un punto di vista proprio, come dire, di prospettiva storica. James Comey, l'ex direttore dell'FBI, alcuni giorni fa, giovedì, ha testimoniato davanti alla Commissione Intelligence del Senato americano, non ha esplicitamente detto che Donald Trump gli avrebbe chiesto di drop, cioè di lasciar cadere le accuse nei confronti di Mike Flynn, cioè l'ex consulente della sicurezza nazionale. Comunque Comey ha detto delle cose che insomma molto dure nei confronti di Donald Trump, che Trump gli avrebbe detto di sperare che le accuse nei confronti di Flynn venissero lasciate cadere. Allora una domanda che ho per Emmanuel: come giudica questa audizione davanti al Senato? Può essere davvero pericolosa per il futuro della presidenza di Donald Trump?
Oh yes, it's very dangerous for Trump. What Comey did on Thursday. Did you all watch the hearing? You guys watched the Comey?
I think, yeah, many of them.
Wow. Avete visto tutti il confronto di Comey, o almeno degli estratti, il confronto di Comey davanti al Senato? Of course. Qualcuno dice of course. Quanti? Scusate, possiamo alzare la mano così lui ha un'idea di quanti hanno visto la notizia, hanno seguito? So, many of them.
Very good. I'm very impressed. It's something that I think everybody in the States was paying attention to as well. And the overall impression is that Comey was honest and spoke the truth about what happened with those meetings. And, you know, based on the tweets and the responses from the Trump administration, it just seemed like they're trying to cover up. And what was actually said was really, getting somebody alone in a room, telling everybody else to leave. You're the president of the United States, and saying, "Boy, I really hope you do this." It seems like, yeah, maybe you're ordering somebody to do that. Everybody gets that. Everybody knows that's exactly what was going on. And while the Trump apologists can say, "Yeah, he didn't actually order you to do that," yeah, he did. That was pretty much intimidating somebody into doing that. Fortunately, Comey was not intimidated. He wrote it down and he told the truth. And he's only the first. Well, actually, he's not the first. He's one of many. There will be many people more that will tell the truth, and many people before him that have already told the truth. And the truth will set us free, but I think it's going to lock Trump up at some point.
Io ho proprio una domanda che si aggancia a questa, no? A questo. Abbiamo sentito Emmanuel parlare di Comey, ed è una cosa che è già una notizia in sé, il fatto che praticamente uno degli hacker più famosi del mondo in questo momento si sente più vicino all'ex capo dell'FBI che non a un altro personaggio che fino a poco tempo fa era un nostro amico, cioè Julian Assange. Quindi la mia domanda in questo momento è su questo: what's happened with Julian Assange? Cosa è successo con Assange?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know what? I guess revenge is kind of, it kind of blinds you. Julian Assange had a real issue with Hillary Clinton. When she was Secretary of State, she said some unfortunate things about Julian Assange, and I think he didn't forget that, and he made it his mission to do whatever he could to make her look bad, and that wasn't too hard, because of the things that she says and does. But unfortunately, the same attention was not given to Donald Trump. And I think very likely that could have swayed many people. And we wound up with Trump as a result of the leaks that affected only Hillary. And there weren't any real leaks that affected Donald Trump. And certainly there could have been many leaks. There could have been videos. There could have been tax returns. Could have been all kinds of things, and we didn't see that. And I think in Julian's case, he was blinded pretty much by wanting to get back at Hillary for the things that she said. Unfortunately, I think that hurts him as it hurts everybody else, because Donald Trump has already said that he intends to open a case against Julian Assange, and I don't think he can just walk out of the embassy now. I think under Hillary Clinton he might have been able to, because I don't think she would have dared to come after Julian Assange and look bad in front of everybody, whereas Donald Trump doesn't really care, and he will waste no effort in locking him up and anybody else who he sees as a potential threat. So I understand why he did what he did, why Julian did what he did, but I think it was a mistake.
Ecco, allora, adesso secondo me è anche interessante allargare un po' la prospettiva. Emmanuel, ma anche Kyle, poi sono due giornalisti, fanno un lavoro che ha a che fare con la libertà di informazione, con le libertà civili. Allora, adesso noi siamo ovviamente tutti molto concentrati su Trump, che è un fenomeno abbastanza straordinario, però, come dire, forse bisogna anche, dovrebbe guardare le cose in prospettiva. Allora voglio chiedere ad Emmanuel, ma anche a Kyle, una questione, cioè che giudizio danno del record, di quello che Barack Obama ha fatto in tema di libertà civili. Obama ha cercato di chiudere Guantanamo, lo ricordo, e questa non è una responsabilità sua, perché il Congresso, i repubblicani, ma non soltanto i repubblicani, anche i democratici gliel'hanno impedito, però Obama ha una serie di ombre su altre questioni, per esempio la kill list, la lista delle uccisioni extrajudicial, cioè al di fuori di un controllo giudiziario. C'è la questione dell'uso dei droni. C'è la questione, per esempio, del fatto che Barack Obama ha da solo come presidente, durante la sua presidenza, perseguito più whistleblowers, cioè più leakers, più persone che hanno fatto uscire delle notizie rispetto a tutte le presidenze precedenti. Allora volevo chiedere a Emmanuel, ma anche a Kyle, che appunto fa un lavoro di questo tipo, tra l'altro lui, lo ricordo, è un fotografo, è un artista, quindi si occupa anche proprio di libertà di espressione, che giudizio danno di Barack Obama in tema di libertà civili?
Anche a Kyle, scusami, perché
okay.
Non riesco a
tradurre. Ok. Me first?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, I think Barack Obama got a very raw deal from the American people because he was judged from two different sides. He was judged from the right-wing conservative and from the left-wing liberal. And it was kind of a problem because people on the left weren't happy with the rate of progress, and they blamed Obama for it going too slowly. In other words, you look at something like healthcare, and Barack Obama was able to bring healthcare finally to the American people as an issue, and we have healthcare as a result of that. But too many people on the left would say, it's not good enough, therefore I don't support it. And then people on the right said, it's too much, we don't support it. And they added those two numbers together so that more people didn't support it than did, even though more people would want to keep going in that direction. This happened many times where people on the left wanted everything at once instead of realizing that Barack Obama was a step towards something better. And they didn't support him when he needed that support. For instance, closing Guantanamo Bay. He was accused of lying for not closing Guantanamo Bay, but in fact he tried to close Guantanamo Bay and Congress kept blocking this from happening. There are numerous examples of things like that where he just couldn't win. But now, I think now he might be appreciated a lot more than when he was in office, when we see how things can be dismantled so quickly and we can move backwards. We see normalization of relations with Cuba being threatened. We see healthcare being dismantled. We see the banks being given all this power back after it was taken away from them. We see social programs being taken away and entire departments being dismantled. And all of a sudden, Barack Obama doesn't look so bad. And I think if we had it to do over again, we'd make different decisions and we'd judge in a little bit more of a fair light. But this is a problem that I've seen before, and that people need to realize that we can't always get everything we want right away. We have to recognize what the better choice is of two choices. You can't say, it's all bad, therefore I won't participate, because when you do that, you wind up with fascists, and that's where we are right now.
I think Barack Obama's election in history will be a lot more positive than it was during his presidency because of the positive things that resulted, the things that did actually get done during his presidency. We're told in school when you're very young, democracy as it is in the United States, as it was designed, is to be very slow, deliberately slow. For these changes, that's why they're important. It might seem boring to young people, but it's very important to be engaged and to understand that each step along the way leads to change and better benefits for society. So for me, the election of Barack Obama was very important as an eligible voter. It was the first election for me that a presidential candidate I voted for won. I had voted in 2004 and 2004, my candidate didn't win, and obviously we had George W. Bush. And 2008, my vote actually counted. And as a young American, that's an important thing. So I think what I call it, as Emmanuel said, the political purists on all sides want perfection, and especially during an administration with the media environment, the critique is very harsh.
And it's not necessarily unwarranted. There are definite missteps and mistakes that the Democrats made, and that even President former President Obama made himself. Absolutely, there are a lot of consequences, but the critique during a presidency within parties, those critiques of the purists aren't as important because the president represents all people. And just as it wasn't always favorable for Barack Obama, I don't think that and definitely I don't think that Donald Trump is getting an easy time, and he shouldn't. We shouldn't expect that. But he is unprofessional, and his administration is unprepared, and they have so much scandal that they can't they've underestimated the intelligence of all the people. They may have exploited a democratic system that was not as intelligent, but the voters are. So they think they have won, but it, as Emmanuel said, is only the beginning, I think, for the direction of our democracy. And people, as you said, are really emboldened and more powerful than ever because it is so unprofessional.
Io adesso avrei un'altra domanda per Manuel, una domanda proprio sul ruolo degli hacker. Gli hacker si è sempre parlato in maniera nebulosa, non si sa bene cosa facciano, cosa pensino, chi siano. E in questo momento storico invece vorrei chiedergli, mentre si sta parlando tipo dei cattivi hacker russi che stanno sovvertendo il sistema geopolitico mondiale e poi invece dell'hacker buono che debella l'Europa dal virus che sta mettendo in ginocchio tutti i computer, in realtà qual è il valore e anche il compito degli hacker in questo preciso momento storico?
It's interesting because I've been involved in this for decades, and from the beginning people have said computer hacking is dead, it's over, the glory days are behind us, and every year, no matter what happens in the world, hackers are in the middle of it, and this was no exception. And the thing is, I'm not surprised. I don't think anybody in the hacking community is surprised that inept security resulted in catastrophe. It's not the first time this has happened. It won't be the last. The thing I want to point out that I think people should remember is that we shouldn't be angry at Russia. We shouldn't be angry at Russian hackers. They are playing the game by the rules that the United States has played the game for a long, long time. Interfering with elections is as American as apple pie. We've been doing it forever. And of course the Russians are going to do this. What we should be angry about is how stupid we were, that we're simply going to believe everything we're told, that we're going to log on to Facebook and see a news story and say, wow, that happened. That's true. We're not going to question. We're not going to hold people up to accountability. And we're going to assume that our systems are secure and can't be tampered with. Of course they can. Of course they will be. We have to assume that will be the case. Hackers are not the problem. Hackers are the ones pointing out the problem. And hackers come in a wide variety of political backgrounds. You can't say all hackers are liberal. You can't say all hackers are conservative. You can't say all hackers are pro-America or pro-Russia. Hackers are into hacking. They will hack machines. They will find security holes. And what I like to think in the hacker community is true is that hackers will spread that information. And if they find something, they will tell people, look how easy this is. The problem is most times when they do that, they get blamed as if they're the ones that made the problem in the first place. So there's a lot of suspicion and fear of what hackers can do. And anytime something happens to your computer, it's because of a hacker. A hacker did this. In actuality, hackers are the ones we should be listening to because they're the ones that figure it out, and they're the ones naive enough to tell you and not to keep it to themselves or sell it. If you hear of people selling security holes, they're not hackers. They're opportunists that are using what hackers figure out for their own benefit. This is something that we've been dealing with for over 30 years, reporting what hackers do and what they reveal, and trying to make a better world because of that. And I think if we had listened, if we had paid attention to the bad security that was being implemented throughout our campaign, we might have been able to figure this out before it was too late. But now, hopefully, we'll listen and prevent it from happening in the future. And maybe other countries will heed these warnings as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Ecco, allora adesso abbiamo ancora 12 minuti, io faccio una domanda, poi se c'è qualcuno tra il pubblico che vuole chiedere qualcosa, insomma vi lasciamo la domanda. Allora, parlavi adesso di informazione, come giudica la copertura da parte dei media americani della presidenza Trump? C'è parte dei media, diciamo quelli più istituzionali, liberal, quindi New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, che stanno coprendo in modo molto aggressivo questa amministrazione. Mi pare che ci sia una netta spaccatura, no? Perché invece c'è un'altra parte dell'informazione americana che difende questa presidenza. Ecco, allora, un giudizio su che tipo di copertura stanno dando. Ricordo Washington Post, la democrazia muore nell'oscurità, no? È diventato il sottotesto sotto appunto il titolo del giornale. E io sono appena tornato dall'Inghilterra. Allora, una cosa che mi interessa e che chiedo a lui, perché fa un tipo di informazione anche particolare. Allora, in Inghilterra per settimane i giornali, i tabloid popolari, quelli di Murdoch, hanno si sono abbattuti continuamente in modo molto aggressivo, inventando anche cose contro Corbyn. Quella cosa lì è servito a pochissimo. Perché? Perché ormai i giovani non leggono più i giornali e quindi gran parte del voto giovanile è andato a Corbyn, proprio perché i giovani hanno altri modi ormai di informarsi. Ecco, allora volevo chiedere un giudizio a Emmanuel proprio su questo, quindi che tipo di copertura stanno dando e se lui vede, diciamo, anche con lo sviluppo dei media che c'è in questo momento, delle novità importanti proprio per la possibilità e la capacità di informare.
Well, it's interesting. We've learned so much in the last few months. We've learned about propaganda. We've learned about revisionism. We've learned about all these things that the rest of the world knew for a long time. And we've learned about all this through our media. We have this wonderful entity in the States called Fox News. You don't get it here, do you? No, it's... You don't want it, no. Basically, anything that Trump does is correct and right. And boy, these people are simply unbelievable. And I think for the first time, many of us are seeing an unbelievable media outlet that just basically believes in Trump more than Trump does, and is able to basically spin gold out of whatever it is that he comes up with. So that is an eye-opener. That wakes people up right there. But what we've also seen is we've seen a reawakening, a rejuvenation of traditional media. I've heard the mantra that print is dead, newspapers are dead, radio is dead. I've heard that said too many times, and I think we all know radio is not dead. And I think we all know that newspapers are not dead, too. But what has to happen in media has to evolve. Media has to find new ways to make sure that its message, its reporting is getting out there, because there is a very big difference between a media outlet that has reporters that know what they're talking about and a comment board on the internet where nobody knows what they're talking about. And unfortunately, there are people who want to make everybody equal and say, well, your word counts as much as anyone else's. No, it doesn't. Not if you're ignorant and you're making things up. And we've seen too much of that in the States. In fact, that's how Donald Trump got elected in the first place, because no matter what, we gave him equal time, because he was there with a microphone speaking. And, you know, there were times where we had literally an empty podium waiting for him to come to the microphone, while Bernie Sanders was already talking to people in front of a packed stadium and wasn't getting the coverage. It was simply because we wanted to see what he would say next. without realizing what the consequences of giving him all of this free media time might be. But what we've seen happen since Donald Trump took power, we've seen those traditional media outlets, things like the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Guardian, actually do reporting because they have actual reporters who do their job, who do know the research, and they have uncovered scandal after scandal. They've uncovered the lies. They've reported the facts, and that's why they're not welcome at the White House briefings. That's why Donald Trump calls them the fake news. Basically why the media has become the enemy of this administration. That's a good thing. That's a good thing because whenever you have an administration that fears the media, that's an administration that fears the truth. And when you have an administration that fears the truth, you know you have a problem. And this is a big red flashing light to the American public that there is a huge problem that we have right now that has to be dealt with. So I think we've seen a lot more trust in the media that actually is doing the reporting, not simply reprinting press releases or saying what the administration wants them to say. The media that very much like hackers questions authority and tries different things when one thing does not work and eventually gets to the hole either in the system or in the story. So in addition to realizing the power that we have as individuals, Trump is giving us the recognition of the power of the media and the importance of the media. The New York Times has seen its subscription levels skyrocketing in the first few months of this year, mostly through digital platforms, and that's a good thing that they're able to do this. I think we will see, I know at 2600 we've seen an increase both in the people writing articles and the people subscribing, and I think we'll see more of that as people realize it's important to have independent media that reports on facts and challenges authority.
Ecco, allora. Allora, io speravo che ci fosse tempo per una domanda. In realtà mancano 57 secondi alla fine. Poi lei parlava di luce rossa dell'informazione. È arrivato Luca Gattuso con la maglietta rossa e questo vuol dire che è davvero finita. Quindi ringrazio Emmanuel Goldstein e Kyle che sono venuti dagli Stati Uniti per raccontarci. Per raccontarci la loro America, ringrazio Marina Catucci, anche lei è venuta da New York apposta. Ecco, continuerete poi a sentirla negli spazi informativi di Radio Popolare. Ringrazio ovviamente Ira Rubini che ha tradotto in modo fantastico. E un saluto, restate qua perché ci sarà sicuramente qualcosa. Certo, grazie, ciao.
Diciamo anche che con Emmanuel non è finita, con Emmanuel e Kyle, che andranno di nuovo in onda lunedì.
Domani.
Esattamente. E ringraziamo Roberto Festa tantissimo.
Ciao, ciao.
So that was a broadcast that aired on Italian radio at 107.6 Radio Popolare.
Yes.
And it's an amazing radio station that they have centered in Milan, can be heard throughout Italy. We were honored to be guests in front of an audience answering questions to the best of our ability on our crazy political state as it stands now. And I just found it really interesting that people took such a keen interest, not only in what's going on in the country, but our perspective. So we were thrilled to visit Milan. We heartily recommend it. And we'll be posting the original show with more Italian commentary on our website, www.2600.com/off-the-wall. Now we're heading to Amsterdam. We're going to be heading over to the British Isles, and I believe we're going to wind up in Iceland.
Indeed, yes. We'll continue traveling on through Europe and eventually back to New York.
I forgot to mention also Edinburgh in Scotland. So if you're in any of those places, feel free to give us a shout via email. Maybe we'll stop by your neck of the woods, otw@2600.com.
And also, if you've any suggestions in some of these places we've mentioned, please feel free to tell us what you think or about something you've enjoyed.
That's it for us this week. We'll see you again next week. And in 2 weeks, it's the 40th anniversary of WUSB. Good night.
Bye.
And it's also the end of broadcasting for Thursday, the end of broadcasting
for 1970. Beardale 9, decreasing 6 in Humber later. Rain, then showers, moderate and poor becoming good. Westerly, 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9.
At the third stroke, it will be 11, 24, and 50 seconds. At the third stroke, it will be 11, 25.
British Broadcasting Corporation.
At the third stroke, it will be
55.
Otherwise, very.
New Year to you.
It will be 11, 25, precisely.
Good night, everyone.
Numbers of redundant lovers and search the